Please take your Bible to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and chapter 15 as we continue in the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And part two here this morning on the fruit joy. The fruit joy. Please notice John chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. And let's go to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then let's go to verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And now notice verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in this joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit, not the joy that merely comes from pleasant circumstances, but rather the joy that is present even when adversity is the circumstance. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be yielded to you, that we might know and walk in the fullness of the joy you have intended for your children, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word. We thank you that you are working in our lives. We thank you that you are accomplishing good and wonderful things in us. Please work through us as well. We yield ourselves to you, and we give our attention to you here in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 22, it talks to us about the fruit of the Spirit. And we've looked at the fruit of love, and now the fruit of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. So, joy, the joy of the Lord. As the believer is yielded to God, the Holy Spirit produces this in us. Joy is the result of the Christian abiding in Christ. Here in John 15, the Lord gives us an example here. He says, I am the vine, Jesus says. My Father is the caretaker. He's the husbandman. And he says, you abide in me, and I in you, and you will bring forth fruit. And so some of the fruit of that is indeed the fruit of the Holy Spirit of joy. Joy. When a Christian is abiding in Christ, joy will be the natural fruit hanging on the branches of that Christian's life. All right, we saw last week in part one, we saw three F's that describe why the believer can have joy, or how the believer can have joy. First of all, we can have joy because we are forgiven. Because we are forgiven, we can have joy. Knowing that we are God's child. Really, I'm talking about salvation here, although salvation didn't start with an F. So, forgiven or forgiveness. When we know that we are forgiven, when we know we are right with God, this will fill us with great joy. You remember what the angel said when he came to the shepherds there on the hillside and the host there with them, and they said, Behold, I bring you good tidings or glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, it's a joyful thing to know the Savior. Imagine what it would be like to not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If we did not have the Savior, Ephesians 2, if you'd notice here for a moment, the book of Ephesians and chapter 2, notice verse 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12 describes a bit of what it would be like to be without Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ. It's talking about when someone, these folks were alienated from God. At that time they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. No hope, and without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. And talking about Jews and Gentiles. And so praise God that we are not without hope in the world, because we have a Savior. I want you to also notice 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, noticing verse 17. It says, And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, to be without the Savior would be a very, very sad condition. You think about what we have. I mean, it doesn't matter whether there's 1,000 people gathered here or no people gathered here. We should be able to have the joy of the Lord because we have a Savior. We have a Savior who has cleansed us of our sin. And I'll tell you what, the joy of the Christian surpasses anything in this world. I mean, there's no $1 million that can give you that same joy. There's no other earthly relationship that could ever give you the joy, the peace of knowing that you are God's child, of knowing you have a future in heaven with Him, and knowing that you are cleansed of your sin. The Bible describes a man that Philip met. The Lord had called Philip. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, he'd called Philip to go down on a road, and a road that leads to Gaza. And he said, there on that road, well, maybe he didn't tell him all that information, he just said, go. And Philip went. And as he went, there was a chariot, and there was an Ethiopian man, a man, the Bible says, of great authority. He was the chief financial officer of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he was reading the Bible in his chariot. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. And Philip ran, and as he got closer, he heard him reading Isaiah. And he said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian man maybe stopped the chariot and said, how can I? Except some man should help me. And he said, come on up here. And Philip got up into the chariot, and the Bible says he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. The man was reading from Isaiah 53, how that He was bruised for our iniquities and all of that. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And the man didn't understand what that was talking about. The man was religious. That Ethiopian man was seeking. But he didn't know the Lord Jesus yet. He didn't know how to be saved. But Philip knew the Lord, and Philip shared what he knew and what he knew about Christ, and he shared that with this Ethiopian man. And the Ethiopian man was accepting it, he was believing it, and he was excited about it. And the Ethiopian man came along and he said, "Hey, there's water." And maybe, I don't know whether Philip talked to him about baptism and identifying with Christ and that step of obedience that is a public testimony of your faith. But I don't know whether he talked to him about that at that time or not. But you know what? That Ethiopian man said, "I would like to be baptized." And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the Ethiopian man said, "I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he is the Messiah." I forget exactly the statement there that he said. But you know what? Let's go over there to Acts 8, because I want to catch the last part of that passage. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Acts 8, verse 37. "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he," that's the eunuch, "went on his way," how? "Rejoicing." The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. There is joy in knowing Jesus. There's joy in knowing Jesus. And so that's the first thing that we want to notice here about the fruit of the Spirit of joy, is we can have joy because we know Jesus, because we're forgiven of our sin. I remember what David wrote in Psalm 51 after his great sinful time with an adultery and such. And in Psalm 51, he prayed and he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Jesus said to the disciples who he had sent out in the book of Luke in chapter 10, and he said the disciples were all excited that the evil spirits were subject unto them, and they were able to do great works for God. And he said, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but," he said, "rejoice that your name is written in heaven." Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And so the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Joy comes from a person knowing Jesus as their Savior. Secondly, I want you to know that there is joy, great joy, that comes through the Spirit of God when we are in fellowship with God. When we are in fellowship with God. And so that's our second F. All right. First of all, the Christian has joy because of salvation, because of their forgiveness of sin. But secondly, we can have joy because of fellowship. We learned in Sunday school this morning that just because we're saved doesn't always mean we're in fellowship with God. Lot, right? Lot is the example there. And you know what? I would say that Lot, in the years living in Sodom, in the years living in sin and corruption, was a miserable man. Because when we are out of fellowship with God, I'll tell you, one of the most miserable people on planet Earth is a person who's saved, who knows the truth, and who is living contrary to it, who is living out of fellowship with God. And so, there is great joy when we are living in fellowship with God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says. beginning with verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen it. John is testifying of Jesus here and how they spent time with him and how they touched him and how they saw him and all of those things. And he says in verse 2, for the life was manifested. The life was made known unto us and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That eternal life. That's a person. Amen? That's a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus said to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life, as he stood there weeping before Lazarus' tomb. Right? He said, Mary, resurrection isn't a coming event. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And here John testifies and said, we saw, we touched that life eternal, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now notice that ye also may have, next word, fellowship. Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your, help me now, joy may be full. I'll tell you what, being in fellowship with God and fellowship with others brings great joy. It does. Not just knowing you're saved, right? It's wonderful to be saved, but a saved person can be miserable if they're out of fellowship with God and with others. In fact, Jesus said, if you are not in fellowship with a brother, if you have hatred in your heart for a brother, he says, how can you have love for me? You know, it just doesn't work. If things aren't right, you can't have hatred on one hand and love me. So notice, we're in 1 John here. Notice chapter 2 and verse 9. Chapter 2 and verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And so we notice that loving our brother is critical in our relationship with God as well. All right? And so that's why it's important for us to extend forgiveness to one another, to get wrongs right with others. Because it's never right to be bitter. It's never right to carry a grudge. Never right to harbor hatred or resentment in our hearts. It's never right. And it always affects our joy. It does. It'll just blow your joy right now. We must have a right relationship with God and with others. Notice chapter 1 here in verse 6 of 1 John. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that's with the Lord Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. When we're walking in that renewing relationship there, in fellowship with God, it doesn't mean that we, will never have something to make right. But we are maintaining fellowship, and maintaining fellowship with God brings great joy. The joy of the Holy Spirit is unleashed in the Christian's life by fellowship. And so, notice that verse 4 again. And he tells us exactly why he wrote us these things about fellowship. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Great joy comes from knowing the Lord, from being right with God and right with others. And then thirdly, not only does joy come from being forgiven, not only does joy come from fellowship with God and others, but thirdly, joy comes from focus. a right focus. Please go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Please notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with what? With joy unspeakable. Another way to say that would be unexplainable. Joy unexplainable, unspeakable, and full of glory. And so we talk here about this unexplainable joy, unspeakable joy. This is really from a right focus. I mean, it's because we have forgiveness, yes. It's because we have fellowship, yes. But it's because of focus as well. Notice what the believers that Peter's writing to are going through. Verse 6, he says, you're greatly rejoicing through what you have in Christ, through what he has in store for you. Yes, you're rejoicing in all that. But right now, he said, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold temptations. These are all kinds, many different kinds of trials. They're in heaviness because the road is hard. Times are difficult. But notice verse 7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold and all of that. But now it says in verse 8, ye rejoice, the last part. Believing ye rejoice with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You see, we can have joy even in trials if our focus is right. You see, it's possible for someone to be saved and to sort of forget they're saved. I mean, you know, they forget what they have in Christ. They forget who they are and whose they are. And so sometimes as life hits us, whether it's a health need, whether it's a financial burden, and whether it's a temptation, whether it's a child that's gone wayward, whether it's, you name the heartache, the distress, the difficulty, the relational challenge, you name it. And God says manifold. So you know what that means? That means all of the ones I mentioned. That means, yes, health and financial and relational and, yeah, boom! But he says, you're in heaviness, yes, but yet you have an unspeakable joy. That comes from our focus, being on the Lord, being on the Lord. I want you to notice Romans 5, Romans and chapter 5. As the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, encourages us here to be joyful in trial as well. I want you to notice Romans 5 beginning with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I mean, there's great joy, great peace, wonderful things there that we've talked about already in some extent. But now notice verse 3. And not only so. In other words, we don't just rejoice that we're at peace with God, that we're justified, that we have access to his grace. But we rejoice, it says here, verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in Oh, what's that next word? Tribulations. Is that a misprint? And maybe we got some words turned around there. Glory in tribulations also? I mean, if I know what tribulations are, they're no fun. This isn't, sunshine and roses. This is heartache and deep water. But he says we can glory in tribulation also. Why? Well, he goes on to say because of what God's going to do through it. I mean, we know what God's up to. God's always up to good things. Even when there's bad things that come into our life, God always works them together for good. We know his promise. James, if you'd go over here to James in chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says is James, the apostle of the Lord, as he writes here to the believers scattered abroad. He says, James, a servant of God, chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And they were scattered abroad largely because of persecution, I remind you. Greeting, he says. Verse 2. My brethren, count it mostly joy. Is that what it says? Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Here we have those manifold trials again, those diverse temptations, all kinds of different kinds of distresses and tribulations, trials, temptations, difficulties, hardships. And he says, mark it down. Mark it down as joy. Count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And he goes on to talk about how God uses it. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to notice Matthew 5. The joy God gives. Matthew 5 and now verse 10. In the passage that Jesus preached, known as the Beatitudes. Matthew 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are you. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so see, it's a focus. It's our perspective in trials. Trials are heavy, as the Apostle Peter wrote. He said, they're heavy. You are in heaviness. This is a season of difficulty. But he says, there's rejoicing as well. You see, what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit of joy, it's not just because, hey, I got all the money I need and I got this fun thing going on here and I've got a new truck in the driveway and hey, that's not the joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit really evidences itself when things aren't going the way you planned, when this isn't quite working out as what you expected, and there's a health burden, and this disappointment, and there's heaviness. And then you see whether the joy was just happy circumstances or whether it was the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is the source of our joy, when it's the fruit of the Spirit, I'll tell you what, even when there's storms are blowing, the apples of joy will be hanging on our tree, right? And so we see this. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We see Jesus says, blessed is that person who's persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. And so it's focus, focus. And so three statements in closing here. Focus on God and his kingdom rather than me and my kingdom. Focus on God and his kingdom rather than me and my kingdom. He taught us to pray, not blessed be my kingdom and my name and my will. No, hallowed be your name, Lord. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There was a focus on the Lord, his kingdom, his will, his name. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, it's nice to have meat and drink. It's nice to have a table spread with delicious food, and that can give us just a feeling of things, you know, of good and a smile on our face and just enjoying a meal. But you know what? The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. So God and his kingdom, not me and my kingdom. A focus on God's objective truth. On God's objective truth rather than my fickle feelings. Let's go over to Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope, Romans 15 verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There is joy in believing. When we're believing, another way we could say believing is trusting, right? Resting, depending on God, his unchanging word. And so our focus needs to be on God's objective truth rather than my fickle feelings. And thirdly, on God's revealed will rather than fluctuating circumstances. The psalmist wrote, and Jesus personally quoted, he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O God. We can have joy when we relish in the salvation we have, in the forgiveness we have in Christ. We can rejoice when we're in right fellowship with God and with others. And we can rejoice when we have our focus right on God and his kingdom, on God's truth, on God's will, instead of my kingdom, my feelings, my will. Joy is the product of the believer who abides in Christ. Are you happy in Jesus? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement from your word this morning. Lord, we know that life can throw us some difficult curveballs, but Lord, we know that those things should not intermeddle with our joy. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to cultivate a deeper walk. For we know that if the joy is lacking, the abiding is lacking as well. For when we are abiding, we can have joy even in trial. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.